seen my presentations or have come to events before or seen us on YouTube or the podcast, I'm very much focused on financing and the home search, right? And it's a very technical, dry, stale discussion, very much numbers focused, but that's the nature of the business to a degree. I'm still going to talk about that today, but from the angle of three different case studies, okay? And what people did right and what people did wrong. And the real lesson I want you to take away from here is how clear goals and alignment can create success, and how being fast and flexible, okay, can really make the process quite simple. Many of us come here wanting to learn because it feels so confusing compared to what home purchasing is like in our home country. And then also some of the negatives, how a bit of hesitation, a bit of doubt can really impede the process and cost you a lot of money. So let me jump into case one. These are all real cases of real clients I've dealt with. I have changed, of course, some nationalities, some, you know, identifying information, but a lot of the details are very, very close to what is real. Okay, so this first one, Alistair and Saori. Okay, this is a young family who just purchased a 4-bedroom home for about 100 million yen in Suginamiku. So they are a young family. They've got a little baby, 6 months old. He was, I think, about 3 months or so, 4 months when we first started the search. It's an American husband with a Japanese wife. A very, very common scenario or family situation for my clients. A lot of times when people want to buy a family home, it's not so much singles, because a single person is still happy to live in a very small 1-bedroom apartment, or they're very open also to potentially just getting a job offer in Singapore or elsewhere and being able to move. Or they, as they maybe get into a relationship, they may move into a 2-bedroom place, right? There's lots of stuff that change slowly when you're in your mid-20s to mid-30s. You still want the flexibility of where you're going to live. You're not really ready to permanently put down roots or decide on a property. Once you get married, that really changes. Okay. You're generally at maybe a higher income level. You can buy a place that you really like. And when you are about to have a family, just got married or having a child, that's when you realize I need to lay down some roots, a nice place to raise my family. So that's what this family wanted, a family home. They lived in the near the Inokashira line, and they liked that part of town. So they said, we want a place in this part of town. The wife is a stay-at-home mother, so it was just the husband's income. His income was about 12 to 13 million yen. The most he could borrow for his loan was 104 million. So he wanted to keep it around 100 million yen for the property. Okay, he didn't want to put a lot of his own cash out. He did have about 10 or 20 million yen of extra cash to contribute to the home purchase. But ideally, he didn't want to spend that, which I know for some non-Japanese or non-local residents, that seems strange. Generally, you need a 20% deposit, right? At least 10%, but 20% is the norm. You need to put money down. If you're a resident who lives and works in Japan, it's pretty much standard to get a no money down loan. Okay, so 100% finance plus all the closing costs, which is about 5 to 8%. So in this case, the total cost for the property was 104.5 million yen. It was 99.9 for the property and came to about, 4.8 or so for the closing costs. The loan we got was 104 million. And the only reason it was 104, not the 104.5, is because that was the top of his borrowing capacity. He couldn't borrow anymore. If his income was slightly higher, then he would have been able to borrow the full amount. So out of pocket was 500,000 yen cash. The loan was a 35-year mortgage at 0.68%. And so when I tell people it feels like it's free money, essentially, I think it is. And a lot of us are like, well, you know, 0.5% is, we don't even consider that as a fluctuation. Back home, 5.5, you know, to 5% is kind of the same thing. The monthly repayments on a 35-year, basically 100 million yen mortgage is 280,000 yen a month, is what he was paying. Now, this is something that I'm going to talk about that is different to what I've discussed in the past. And this is the approach, what's actually happened with them, how we went ahead and did the search. So they contacted me in February of this year, and we would send listings. They told me their requirements. We did a Zoom conversation, a Zoom chat. They sent me their requirements, and I sent them a bunch of listings. And then we'd go and view some properties. I'd get an understanding of their requirements, what they needed, what they liked, what they disliked. The client themselves, even they only really figured out what they like and what they dislike after they go and start to view different properties. A lot of times they haven't visited houses yet or family homes. It's very new. They're still living in a 1 LDK, one bedroom apartment. And now they're looking at properties. So the first time they step into one, they're not really sure what they like or what they dislike. Everything is bigger and grander than what they're currently living in. We'd visit a few, get some feedback. They really liked the living room on the top floor because then you have a really high ceilings with great sunlight that comes in. They need at least one bedroom that has great sunlight because that was actually going to be the office because the husband works from home quite a fair bit. So you start to build these requirements when you see them, right? It's very hard when you've never actually lived in a place before or, you know, bought a house before. In total, we actually went on site and viewed about 14 properties. I check the email chain. A lot of us use Gmail. I use like a Google Workspace for my work. Do you know the maximum number of emails you can have in a thread? Has anyone seen, you know, when you have conversations, you've got 20 conversations, 25 conversations in this email thread. Does anyone know the maximum you can have? Okay. It's 100. Once you get to 100, it just starts a new email chain. You can't have a thread that's over 100. So I have in my inbox lots of email threads that are well over 100, or that are at 100 rather, and started off to the next one. It's very, very common when you're doing these kind of searches. So I went through 244 emails between us, plus iMessaging. Just, oh, I'm at the place, so I'm here, there, et cetera, whatever. Are you free tomorrow for a viewing? The process, we went from, we searched in February, we signed the contract in June, and settlement was in July. So that's roughly 6 months from start to finish, including all the financing, until they got the keys. So some things that they did right, okay? They were very realistic and practical about their approach. They're a young family. They wanted a four-bedroom house. Nothing too grand, nothing too extravagant. They were very reasonable with their market price expectations. They knew they wanted an extra bedroom because in the future, they are considering having a second child. They do expect relatives to come visit from overseas and to stay for extended periods. You know, I had the same thing when my mum and dad want to visit from Australia. If it's a small place, effectively sleep in the living room, they can probably only stay comfortably for about a week before they get uncomfortable, before my wife gets uncomfortable and the kids get uncomfortable. And I'll be going crazy as well. You know, we moved out for a reason. So that's some of the stuff that you think about and you consider. And they were very practical with that. They knew their minimum requirement, but they were also very flexible in terms of, okay, they know they can't have their dream home. There's no perfect dream home that's going to fit the bill perfectly from now until retirement. Okay, it's hard to find. But if you are quite realistic in what you want and have good communication with your spouse, which they did really, really well, it's very interesting being a real estate agent and spending so much time with couples, just almost as a fly on the wall, and seeing how they engage and how they communicate with each other. and what a successful, happy relationship and mature relationship really looks like. We go in and the wife says, no, I don't like this kitchen layout. I don't think I can work with it. And the husband turns around because even if everything else is like technically checks all the boxes and all the requirements, the husband turns around and says, oh, okay. Yeah, no, she doesn't like it. Let's go. That's it. Okay. And sometimes I'll say, look, if there are some items we can change, right? Anything superficial, even if it's so good in so many areas, we can maybe rotate the kitchen or changing wallpaper or adding a shower room if that's such a big thing. But a lot of times, you know, if just one person disagrees enough, it's a deal breaker. In a healthy example, they say, okay, yeah, no, this one doesn't work. We'll go to the next one. And it's really clear and not, you know, I learn a lot from that, even for my own relationship, about what are healthy habits and healthy behaviors. So we evaluated lots of options, and then we found the right place. There was probably one thing that I feel they did wrong, and that was they took a long time to actually commit to the final property. At the beginning, they kind of did want an ideal place or a property to really, when they walked in, they wanted it to add and something to their life and really just be something fantastic and give it to them. But when they went to so many, they realized that wasn't what was happening, right? That was their dream. But what really was happening in practice was they'd go there and it's almost like a blank slate, a foundation for you where you're going to raise your family, which you're going to use to be able to enjoy and make memories. So once they got to that kind of understanding, they realized, look, this particular property, we went back and visited it 4 times. It was one of the first houses that we visited. And then on many other viewings, at the end, we say, let's go back and look at the other house. Let's go back and look at the other house at the end of it. And we kept going back and they always walk in, go, this one just really works. It checks so many boxes so well. But it wasn't like they felt that there was something missing. But after they kept looking and looking, they came to the realization, actually, no, this is when you have something that's so stable and so solid on every single visit, rather than trying to make it just make you happy, it needs to be, a competent and suitable house in many areas where you're able to use that as a foundation to improve the rest of your life. And in this case, it was to raise a young child. After the 4th visit, they actually turned around and said, no, look, this is a hard no. We like it a lot, but it's just not enough. Then about 2 weeks later, I get a phone call saying, Emil, we've decided we're going to go ahead with that property. I said, really? I thought we finally agreed after 4 visits, it's no. I said, look, our kid is growing and he's starting to crawl. This 1-bedroom is just no longer, it's not child safe. It's not suitable for us. It's time to move on. And this is right now the top candidate and we know it will do a great job. So they decided to go ahead with it. I do feel if the child was a bit younger, or they didn't have that where the child's crawling around the house and they go, look, we need to make a decision now, they would still be looking and they'd still be undecided. But thankfully, they moved in and they are happy. That was in end of July. So it's been about 6 weeks now that they've been there. Let's move on to case number 2. Okay, Ethan and Michelle. This is another version of, I don't want to say single, but they're a married couple with no kids and no plans for kids. Okay. It is actually a quite realistic image of them and their house for the previous one. It's a Canadian and American. Okay. They both work full time, no plans for kids. Combined income is about 14 million yen. So very similar to, you know, in terms of budget to that previous couple. But they don't have permanent residency. Okay. They're both here just on regular work visas. They've been here for about 3 to 4 years. The wife commutes. Okay. The husband works remotely. He's in IT. a big aspect for them that they were looking for was something that's really suitable for their lifestyle, basically as a childless couple. The property they searched for was ended up being 119.8 million yen. So 120 million yen. And the closing cost came to about 5 million. Now, in their case, because they don't have permanent residency and there's no Japanese spouse, they could only get a maximum of 80% financing, which means a 20% deposit, which now is kind of what we normally expect overseas. Okay, a 20% deposit is very much the norm. One thing that they did, actually I'll discuss it in a second, what they did really well. But so they needed a 20% deposit plus the closing costs. A total of about 29 million yen cash out of pocket is what they needed. Interest rate was slightly higher as well. And one of the reasons for that isn't because they're foreign. It's just the bank that they chose that allows you to do, allows non-permanent residents to get loans just has a slightly higher interest rate. It's not the best deal on the market. Even a Japanese citizen applying with this bank would get the same interest rate, but they get 100% financing, not just 80%. Okay. So it wasn't a bump in the interest because they are foreign. That's not the case. Because they're non-permanent resident, they did have to put a 20% deposit. But the interest rate, the product they got itself was the same as the Japanese national would get. There is like a 0.1% increase on it. Actually, it's 0.2% because they got additional cancer insurance. So Japanese home loans in general will have a life insurance attached to it. If you die, the loan goes to zero. That's just included in the interest rate. But the added option they got was if they get cancer, it's cancer, heart disease, stroke. Okay. So three major, illnesses. If they suffer one of these, then the loan goes to zero as well. So that's an extra premium that you put on the mortgage, on the interest rate rather. This couple was probably one of the smoothest, fastest, easiest deals that I have done. And a big part was because they were just very fast. One, they don't have kids to worry about the schedule. They can just come out and view air anytime that they want. They live near Nakanong area, and they like that sort of slightly northwest, inner northwest of Tokyo. So we looked at Nakano, Shibuya, Shinjuku, and Suginamiku. In total, we viewed 6 properties only. Okay, and they weren't even sure, should they get a house or a mansion? And they looked at the mansions, and after we saw 2 mansions, they're like, you know what? Just the value proposition for a house, for the same price, we can get a much bigger house and a more modern house than we can a mansion. Especially in this pocket that they were looking at. The very first house that we saw, they actually loved. They go, oh, this is fantastic. This is the first day we met. They go, you know, this is great. Let's get this. And I said, oh, okay, like we don't, like usually you want to look at a few more to make sure it's right. They go, oh, no. We owned houses before in the overseas. So this is completely fine. We're comfortable with it. We know we'll like it. I said, oh, okay. When people are experienced with buying, their decision process is a lot faster. And so the very first house we saw, I said, okay, great. They didn't have financing then because it was the first time we'd met. We had a Zoom call just a few days earlier and then we're out looking at properties. The next day I called the agent. I said, look, we want to make an offer. We don't have financing yet. And they just turned around and said, oh, actually, we just got an offer as like this morning. So it's off the market. Apologies. Okay. A bit disappointing, but it was really just the first house. They hadn't really been in love with it and they hadn't spent so much time, you know, dwelling over it or whatnot. But then in the next 3 houses that we saw after that, 2 or 3 houses, one of them, they said, okay, yeah, this is fantastic. This is great. In fact, the house that they decided on, when we went to view it, the wife couldn't come because she had work. But it popped up and on the listings, and the husband was like, hey, actually, look, this is great. Let's go. Because he works remote. He's very flexible with his schedule. So we just, I just met him at the place. He looked at it and it was a fantastic big 3-bedroom house. I think it's 120 square meters, which is really large for a 3-bedroom, 3-story house. Massive LDK, a brand new build, enough for a car and motorbike parking, really nice, spacious out the front. And we looked at it and he said, look, he's happy. As long as there's a beer and Wi-Fi, he can live in a closet. The issue was his wife. And yeah, a lot of guys get it. Like that's, you know, we have our priorities. And he thought his wife would love the house, but not the commute. Because she travels into town near Azabu area every day, in commuting distance for her was always a thing. And this property was about 12 to 15 minutes from the station, a little bit further from the station than what they usually, what they were really looking for. But that evening, you know, they went out with the wife went out and had a look at the area. They did sort of the, jumped on the train, did a walk from the station, looked around. And then the next day they said, look, we really like the area. The wife wants to have a look at it. Okay. So after work, like 5 PM, she left work a little bit early, came up, we looked at it and she's like, yep, it's fantastic. Calls her husband and says, yeah, like I want to move ahead with this on the spot. They were very flexible and realistic in what their goals were and what they wanted to achieve. They didn't want to waste time. They knew just paying rent was wasted money. Okay. And for them, as long as they're in that pocket of Tokyo, they're very flexible, right? They want a nice place to be able to invite friends. You know, again, when you don't have kids, your requirements, you really focus on just lifestyle and having something that can really add to your lifestyle. They did a few things really well, which were they were fast to make decisions, and they would go and look at properties. Even that very first house that we saw that they wanted to make an offer on, that evening they went out and checked out the area. I looked at it, went to some restaurants and cafes nearby to make sure it made sense. They didn't waste any time. We did all this in, I checked under 100 emails. It was one email thread, 95 emails to get this whole thing done. And we met in, let's see, in May. And that's why we did the first consultation in May and we settled in July. So it was like 2 months and a little bit is the time that it took. And what they did wrong was nothing at all. We missed out on the first property because we didn't have financing ready to go. But I don't think that was our fault at all because that was a very first outing. I'd met them only if I had a Zoom call with them only a few days earlier. So we didn't really drop the ball in that regard, but we had started the process already. So when we saw the second property, financing was already approved and we could move on it quickly. Now, this one makes me feel sad because I feel this is a true representation of where the family is at right now. This is a gentleman, Daniel, not his real name, who I met at the gym. And in 2017, we started chatting. He was expecting, his wife was pregnant, my wife was pregnant with our second one. So my daughter was, my middle boy, so I was, oh no, sorry, with my third kid, my daughter was born in December of 2017. I think his child was around January of 2018. So we were chatting, oh, your wife's pregnant too. Oh, mine too. It's their first, my third. We were talking like, yeah, I'm a real estate agent here in Tokyo. He goes, oh, we're just having a kid and need to looking to buy a house, etc. Really had that discussion. And I'm like, yeah, let's talk, man. Like, I mean, young families just having their first kid. That's my bread and butter. That's what I do. And this is the most important time for you to make a decision. And they wanted, you know, all the normal stuff, you know, nice big place open. Like he's European. He wanted, you know, a yard or a terrace. He has a motorbike as well. So he wants car parking and motorbike close to schools, close to parks. Really good deal. He wanted a really great deal. We did a pre-approval for him and got pre-approved for 90 million yen. His wife earns more than him. He's on a pretty good salary. His wife earns a little bit more. But she didn't want to be included in the mortgage. her approach and her thinking was, what if you lose your job? I'm going to have to pay for all the mortgage. So that's too much risk. So I don't want to be involved in it, just in case you lose your job or you can't work anymore. Which for a lot of us feels kind of strange. Well, I mean, for me at least anyway. And for a lot of the clients that I feel are successful. But this was kind of the start of the, you know, I just watched Spider-Man last night, the tingle you get, the sixth sense when you realize, this is not what a healthy purchase actually looks like. All right. This is a sign that it's not really going to be successful. So they were renting, near Omotesando area, actually, like, about 300,000 yen a month, 280, but then they got a kid and okay, we need to increase their rent a little bit, plus a car parking space they had. We're still searching. They haven't bought a place yet. There was a time. So at that early stage, we discussed and actually went to have a look at properties. No luck. Then they decided to rent property. And then 3 years later, in 2020, I get a call in the mail. We're having another kid. Okay. All right. So now it's time to buy. Okay. We did the whole process. Looked in. Every time I went to look, it was just with the husband. The wife never came. I've met her twice in this 7 year period. Okay. She just didn't want to be involved. There was a husband that was trying to drive everything. We just have a Facebook chat. I went through the Facebook, the real estate related messaging over 7 years is 260 messages. We've gone and viewed physically over 20 properties and I've sent him hundreds. Every time I'm doing a search for even other clients, I'll send them to him as well and say, hey, look, this is in the pocket that you've been looking at. They did a few things right. One, got low pre-approval very early and he went out for viewings. I think pre-approval and just going out and seeing what is there is really, really important. What they did wrong, though, they did quite a few things wrong. A big one was there was a disconnect between the husband and wife. All right? I got that sense right at the beginning. But even throughout, the fact that the wife was not so involved, the significant other was not involved in going out and viewing properties, wasn't so keen, was very risk averse. That, well, if my husband loses his job, I have to do everything. But that mindset is that the partner is not going to have a job permanently at all. They're not just 3 or 6 months, just will never work again. That also feels a little bit strange, that approach. They also frequently change their criteria. Like, I don't want to put it all on the wife. That's not, or that relationship situation. That's not it. They even frequently change their criteria. First it was, hey, want to live near Omotesando? Then, look, there's international school down near Yokohama. Let's look over there because we want to be close to that international school. Then, oh, there's properties along the international school bus route goes to Futago Tamagawa and whatnot. Let's try to get a house here or there. They wanted a garden or roof terrace, large open space and a double car park, enough for a car park and a motorcycle. Plus they wanted to be within 10 minutes of the station. And I explained, that kind of zoning does not allow for that much open space. If you want to be in zoning that allows that, you have to be further from the station. You cannot just get that kind of space. And probably one of the biggest issues that they had was they wanted a bargain. They wanted like a distressed property or something that hadn't sold. The seller was in a real hurry to sell at a massive discount. They just weren't comfortable paying market price for a property. So unfortunately, when you do that, distressed property, especially in the Tokyo market, it's like trying to find a stock on the stock market that's underpriced. The system won't let you do that. It's just like free money. You can't have it, especially in Tokyo real estate. So, and the ones that are distressed is because the building is rubbish. Okay. It's a piece of junk, which they won't accept anyway. So they just weren't realistic about their priorities, like what my first and second case studies were. Yeah. So this just let it drag on for years and years and years. Literally years. So what is the cost of inaction? The cost of waiting. Yeah. So if they had it bought in 2017, again, their budget was about 80 million yen. And that's the properties we were looking at back then, which now you can't find. It's 100, 120 million for the same properties in the same areas. If they bought in 2017 for that price, they would have paid a total of 19 million yen in loan repayments. Of that, because interest is so low, 13 million would be equity. Plus the increase in property values, probably, again, 80 million yen 7 years ago would be, or eight years ago now, would have gone up about 30 million yen in what they're looking at. So that's a total increase right now of 43 million yen. If they bought me 2020, they would have paid off 8 million yen of the mortgage. And I just put here 20 million yen capital gain. They'd be 28 million yen up. Instead, they're renting, right? Actually, they're renting, it's closer to 400,000 now that they're renting. And it's, so I put 350,000 yen over 8 years. It's 33 million yen of rent that they've paid. Zero equity, okay? Zero, they haven't captured any of the capital appreciation, which you only get when you are an owner, not when you're a renter. Okay. So delaying costs real money. Okay. The gap between buying and renting, okay, will just keep growing every year. So the final takeaways, I think Ziv Talamyoshkov, 1 minute left. So alignment matters between husband and wife. And if you're a single guy, single girl, easy, you just make the decision. Okay, no kids, it's pretty fast, easy to make a decision. When you have children, there's a lot of more other things to consider, but that alignment, where you want your family direction, is very, very important. Momentum wins. Okay, being fast, not letting it drag out. Okay, the first case study, they almost missed that second, that the property they decided on, because they took 4 weeks for when they first saw it, when they decided to get along, to go ahead with it. Okay. That speak feelings. Good decisions are based on data. Okay. Emotions are important when buying a personal residence. But as we saw in the final case, when you don't, when you're not realistic about the market prices, about what is available, when you don't go out and actually have a good look, then you don't, what you think is available and what really is doesn't align. Your dream and the actual facts don't align. Perfect rarely exists, okay? Good enough now beats perfect sometime in the future. You'll keep chasing perfect until your kids are older and now a little bit too squashed. And this, I feel, is a realistic example of where the families are at this stage, right? The bottom one being case number three, my friend who is now still in a 2 LDK property. They can't move because the kids have already started elementary school and they live near Omotesando area still. So they can't get out of there because they can't afford to buy. Prices there are much too high now, especially for larger properties. And they can't move away because the kids have already started school and they don't want to relocate them from school. So thank you all so much for your time. My name is Emil. I am an Australian. I'll do my quick little intro here. So I've been in Japan for 22 years myself. I've got three wonderful, hectic, chaotic kids. I live in Setagaya. I bought my first house in Shibuya, which is a 3-bedroom house when I had my first child. Then we upgraded to a 4-bedroom house in Setagaya near Shimokitazawa when I had my second child. So I'm very much deep in the process of what I'm 10 to 15 years ahead of what a lot of my clients are. So I think there's a lot of good advice and information I can give from my firsthand family growth experience that I give to my clients looking to buy a home. I'm the founder of realestate.jp. So I'm one of the co-organizers of this event with Zip Blanca and Tracy. I'm a certified home loan advisor as well as an agent. So that's why I know the financing side really, really well. I do all the paperwork for you. If anyone is interested, please, you can reach out, like first name, last name, milgrovis@realestate.jp. Or I've got a QR code up there. I've opened up my calendar. So there's a Calendly link in there. I've opened up my calendar. If anyone wants to have a consultation, we could just jump on there and we can schedule a consultation with you guys about home purchasing and home loans if you're a resident here in Tokyo. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emil. We've got 5 minutes for Q&A, and of course, Emil will be available to you later as well. But if we have any hands in the room, if not, we will grab some questions from the stream until you work out yours. So one question from the stream. In the case of two non-permanent resident, a couple, non-permanent residents, no children, obtaining 80% LTV at 1.13% interest, what was the minimum residency period in Japan that was required for them to achieve the deal? And they're talking about your case study, so.
Yeah, case two. Oh, man, I think it was 3 years. I believe it's 3 years of, at least 3 years of residency, but 3 years of continuous employment at the same company as well. Yeah, trying to recall specifically their one. Yeah, it was three. I don't think you need to be 3 years in the same company. Let's say like over 1 year at the same company, but 3 years of residency. Depends on the bank. Some of them have different criteria. Some say 5 years, but yeah, I'd say at least 1 year of employment and 3 years of residency for the most part. And there are different banks that will handle different things a bit differently. If you just moved apartments recently, your primary residence, they don't like that. They like people that are a little bit more stable. So it's a kind of case by case basis. If you think you're very close to it, then please do reach out. We'll have a Zoom call and we'll check your specific case. Some things like your employer, if it's a listed company that you work for versus if you're a small like startup, they consider that differently as well. So it's not just a clear sort of checkbox.
I think you've spoken at one of our previous sessions that we recorded on the podcast and maybe in one of your presentations as well. You were talking about preparing for that point, right? There's some stuff that you need to be thinking about as you approach eligibility, right? Could you just talk a little bit on that?
Yeah, so a big one, for example, if you're a self-employed or a business owner, often the banks will want at least 2 years of your tax returns, right? And often these people as well, it's pretty common that you pay yourself a very low salary. So if you set up your business, say, hey, I'm only going to pay myself 2 million yen a year and I'll run all the expenses through the company. So the bank will turn around and say to you, well, what's your income? It's 2 million yen. It's actually more. My company makes a lot, but I only pay myself 2. They'll assess you at a 2 million yen income or a 3 or 4 million yen income, a simple rule of thumb is you can borrow about 8 times your gross salary. So if you do pay yourself 3 million yen, that's like 24 million yen, 25 million yen of borrowing that you can do. So you want to be paying yourself more like 10 million yen if you want to borrow a larger amount. So there are some things to consider, especially for people in that situation, because the bank will want to look at 2 years worth of tax returns is pretty common. If you're just an employee at a company, you may want to consider in that case, it's hard for you to really do any changes, but a lot of times is, well, don't change jobs right before you want to buy. Okay, if you're thinking of buying or thinking of changing employment, you need to plan clearly. Buy a property now before you change companies, if you change company, how long do you need to wait? Is it 6 months or 12 months or 24 months? And a lot of that depends on some other factors. Do you have permanent residency or not, etc.? And again, because it's both very case specific to the individual, yeah, their marital situation, their visa situation, the visa or citizenship of their spouse, their income, how long they've been here or their company. And also the bank products, the bank offerings also change regularly. it's not a something I can say, this is what you need to do right now here on stage. Please just, you know, email me, we'll do a Zoom call and I can pick out, sort of find out your scenario, and then I'll have a call with the banks. We have, because we're a licensed agency, we deal with, we have formal agreements with the mega banks and their loan departments. So I can just call Tanaka-san at SMBC and say, look, this is the situation. What are your rules for this specific case? Do they need to be here a little bit longer or not? And so on.
Thank you. Any questions from the room? Yes.
What would be kind of the specific things one could do, prepare, possibly in advance to get that number of emails down to maybe under 100 and the number of visits down?
So the question is, what can someone do to prepare to reduce the number of email communications? I don't think those email communications actually are a sign of anything bad. It means there's lots of communication and lots going on. We're sending lots of properties, getting lots of feedback, scheduling viewings, asking for documentation. It's not to say that this is a bad or good sign, but rather this is the amount of kind of back and forth you would expect when buying a property. It's not just, oh, go visit it, buy and do it. Maybe sometimes these Japanese agents, there may be less communication. But in my experience, it just really ends up being a lot of back and forth, a lot of simple questions. Your residency card is, you know, expired or doesn't show how long you've been in Japan. The bank wants every old residency card back to your very first one, even with the hole stamped on it, so they can assess how many years you've been here. Okay, that's another back and forth with email chains. You forgot to do the back of this, so it's back of this one. Worry, please send another one. There's lots of just happening, but that's not a negative sign at all. What you can do, though, is, just reach out. That's normal. Yeah, reach out and have the conversation, and then the communication is just normal.
We can do one last question if you want, but your lunches are being served outside, just in case. If anyone's vegetarian, especially, you might want to grab them before they run out. If not, thank you very much, Emil. Do we have one more question? Sorry, I didn't see a hand.
No. Okay, I think you had everyone.